Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with your host, Attorney Susan Bryan, for this episode of The Roundup by the Bryan Law Group, produced by Augustine Legal PR. Support for The Roundup comes from Chris McCarthy of Northwestern Mutual. Chris McCarthy provides individuals and business owners with expert guidance and exclusive access to Northwestern Mutual's life and disability insurance policies. The Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Please visit our Facebook and Twitter pages for links to all of our shows available anytime on demand. Visit BryanLawGroup.com. Again, that's spelled B-R-Y-A-N, BryanLawGroup.com. And you can find our Twitter and Facebook feeds there on the right, and that has links to our shows. I want to let you know that tonight's episode is called Point Counterpoint on Chicago Teachers Union Strike. And on day three of the Chicago Teachers Union strike, news reports suggest that there is movement backward and forward among union leaders and CPS administration. Many people feel strongly about the main issues involved in this dispute, and our panel guests tonight, Mr. Charles Kruger and Mr. Tom Glick, will join Susan and I to help identify some of the issues and explore the processes in working toward resolution so the school year may proceed. Presenting this episode, again, your host Susan Bryan and myself, Nick Augustine, are here to welcome Charles Kruger, who is a human rights attorney and counselor, and Tom Glick, attorney and professional mediator. Charles worked both for Chicago Public Schools management and union sides and perspectives, and he has experience working to find resolution in complex matters. Likewise, Tom Glick, author of Creative Mediation, addresses problems in the dispute resolution processes. We do have a great show for you this afternoon, and we invite your calls at area code 347-838-9485. Again, 347-838-9485. Then press option 1 to be placed in the caller queue. Again, 347-838-9485. If you do call in as a guest, I will likely text you and get your name and city where you're located from just for quality purposes. All callers do remain confidential. As way of disclaimer goes, this is a general information and entertainment program, and the advice shared on the show does not constitute legal advice. Communications with Attorney Susan Bryan or attorney guests on our show cannot give rise to attorney-client relationships. And if you have further questions, you should make an appointment to consult with an attorney in your area. Finally, all callers remain confidential, and all rights to this broadcast are reserved. I'll give you some of the topics we're going to cover tonight. Again, we have a half-an-hour show. In the first half, we're going to cover the first three topics, which are, number one, CPS funding sources and allocation systems. Secondly, hiring and firing of teachers and some HR issues. Then we'll talk about length of the school day and its connection with funding. And then after the break, we'll talk about teacher performance and compensation, followed by management and union perspectives on the issues. And then finally, using dispute resolution models such as mediation to cure problems like this in school and other contexts as they come up. So without further ado, I would like to welcome our guests. First, I'd like to say hi to Charles.
Hi, how you doing, Nick?
Very good. And we'll say hi to Tom.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for inviting us.
All right. First, I'd like to, for you to both give a brief overview of who you are, what your practice is, and where you have information and knowledge in this area. Chuck, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm Chuck Kruger. I'm a management side labor and employment lawyer and human resources counselor based in Chicago. My first job out of law school was actually with the Chicago Public Schools. That was from 94 to 98, working in labor and employee relations. I was kind of a point person for dealing with the Chicago Teachers Union on day-to-day issues involving grievances, disciplinary issues, and other collective bargaining-related matters, too. And I've been on my own now for the last 12 years in my own management side practice.
All right. Tom, let's hear from you.
Yeah, my name is Tom Glick, and I've been practicing exclusively in the area of mediation and alternate dispute for the last 20-some-odd years. I've been practicing law a little over 30 years. And I did author a book called Creative Mediation around 6 months ago to address some of these issues and others. I have a company called Center for Conflict Resolution, and that's all that we do.
All right. Well, let's jump right into the issues, because it seems like a lot of people read news reports and they seem to know some of the issues but not all the other ones. So if you could, Chuck, go ahead and start giving us an overview. Let's talk first about CPS funding sources and allocation.
Sure. Basically, the CPS is funded through property taxes And Mayor Emanuel lately has been trying to also pursue other sources from private corporations, foundations, things like that. The charter schools, he's been trying to use that too as a means for additional funding sources through corporations, foundations, that type of stuff. It's allocated largely through a central office that's based in the Chicago Loop, where they have their central management, a CEO, an appointed board, and the CEO is appointed by the mayor, Mayor Emanuel.
So what's everyone upset about?
Well, I think a lot of the people are upset that the funds, well, there's a lot of misallocation of funds. It's a top-heavy sort of system. You have people being paid a lot of money at the upper levels versus the teachers who, well, their average salary right now is $71,000 a year. So I think it's hard for people to, I think it's hard for the teachers to portray themselves as being underpaid when that's the average salary for them. So some of the other things that they're angry about besides the allocation of funding is then you have the performance systems, pay for performance, pay for how students perform on testing, things like that.
Now, you know, some of these issues are similar to, well, you know, we have Chicago Public Schools and we have all of our suburban school districts. So it sounds like people are having some of these issues in the Chicago Public Schools, but maybe not in some of the others. And I know a lot of our listeners are located in suburban areas. So again, different systems, all sorts of different issues. Tom? What are your thoughts as far as some of the, what have you heard in your area?
You know, from the outside looking in, down here in Florida, we hear what we're hearing is just accusations flying back and forth, with little address as to the actual issues. Until Chuck just made the presentation, I really wasn't even sure where the funding sources were and actually what was at issue. And what we're hearing is that it appears to us that it's the mayor versus the head of the teachers union, both well-meaning people, but just mired in accusations going back and forth.
Susan, let me ask you. I think you brought up a point that you mentioned and talked to someone about what's been going on in the news with CPS.
Well, I think that it's not only in Florida or elsewhere that no one is actually hearing what the issues are and just becoming angry, as I was telling you earlier. You know, I saw someone today, and all they was, you know, they were angry that a teacher was at the side, you know, with the strike sign and everything, you know, and believing that they're denying the children, you know, their education and everything. But when you ask, well, do you understand what the teacher's striking about or what's going on, no one seems to know the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking Cook County there as well, the Chicago schools.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to suggest that what's going on here applies to many school systems. It just may be that the ability to mobilize is something that happens in Chicago maybe more than in some of our suburban areas and other towns. Chuck, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and I would agree with what Tom said regarding the clash between Emanuel and Lewis. This is a really layered bureaucratic system, and that's part of the problem, too. It's not very transparent. The people on the very few people, even on the inside, have a macro understanding of what's going on. So, plus, you have the collective bargaining agreement, which has been around, or there's a lot of legacy language or historical language that's been carried over from agreement to agreement. So even though it's a very lengthy collective bargaining agreement, the length doesn't even matter anymore because a lot of the language is superfluous to what's actually the reality of what's going on in the system.
Mm-hmm. That was that. Now, on our second point, on hiring and firing of teachers and HR issues, are some of the transparency problems pervasive through hiring and firing HR, or are there bigger fish to fry there?
Yeah, you have the typical union protections that's very similar to like a civil service sort of system. It's a multi-layered process and involves hearing officers, written documentation that has to be followed or usually followed to the T. Nobody is ever really fired by one individual person. They're fired by the system itself through this whole convoluted process. The same thing with hiring, too. Hiring happens usually the same way.
Now, there was a union leadership had a change over in the last couple of years. Wasn't there a whole new president of the union that came in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I remember someone I was talking to who had a gentleman's wife worked in CPS, and there were a lot of people up in arms, and you know, the thought at the time was that the new guard doesn't even know where the light switch, much less how things are going. So they've had some of dust being kicked up here. Now, what about with the length of the school day? Is that similar to our funding and HR issues?
Yeah, this is Chuck. Yes, it is. Chicago is the short. I believe Chicago is the shortest school day out of any public school system or any major public school system in the nation. And Mayor Emanuel wants to lengthen that to provide more instruction. And some of what goes on in the school day, too, isn't even instruction-related. There's a lot of downtime for different things that occur. Also, a lot of days off for different things that occur, like instructional days or different programs. They have some of these bizarre names for these days off. Even some of the holidays are even sort of unusual, too, like Pulaski Day, which is the only, I think, Cook County is the only county in Illinois or maybe even America that observes that day, and that's a day off for CPS students.
You know, and also similar Chicago public utility, and you know, look at police and fire, and a lot of our public institutions have come under fire for days off, and I remember there was, anyway, I believe it was police came under fire for, you know, lavish, a lot of money spent on training and tip, you know, trips to, you know, really nice places. And, you know, there are a lot of people making a lot of money. And, you know, there's I think when, you know, we get with the unions and the administration, we have a loggerhead. So in a nutshell, with the 4 minutes we have left in our first half, Chuck, can you tell us a little bit from your perspective on working on both sides of the coin, what's really happening right now?
Well, first of all, I think both sides are at fault because the system itself is bloated and top-heavy, very convoluted. The CTU themselves, Chicago Teachers Union, their representatives are extremely well-paid. Back when I was there, which is 94 to 98, it wasn't unusual to see a typical union representative who's making about $125,000 a year, including benefits. So they're paid a lot better than their teachers. They get nice plush offices at the merchandise mart. Their pension, one of the underlying issues, I think, right now, too, is the pension fund. Their pension fund is really underfunded, and this is something that's part and parcel with all unions right now across the nation in the private and public sectors.
Mm. Movement back and forth. Do you think that when are our kids going to start going back to school?
I'll go first, I guess, on this one. I didn't even anticipate that there was going to be a strike because of some of the political undertones relative to the national election this year. So I'm surprised that there was a strike in the first place, but now it looks like I wouldn't be surprised if this was a prolonged strike lasting more than a week.
If I can just interject, this is Tom. Again, from perception, we're just hearing that the strike was a political strike, that there was no reason for it, that really the argument wasn't over money. And when forces outside of Chicago, outside of Illinois come in and the sides, you know, the camps go their own ways, that the strike became. And I sort of agree with Chuck. You would think that there should not have been a strike. And I guess maybe if this were not a political year, there would not have been.
Yeah, it's Tom raises a really good point relative to if it wasn't in 2012, if this was 2013, there may not have been a strike.
Very interesting, and I'm going to stay neutral on that point. Susan, what are your thoughts on what we talked about in our first 15 minutes here?
Well, no, I think it's interesting that so much of it is pointed to the political aspects of it, rather than, you know, necessarily the money issues or anything like that, and it's coming down to an issue where obviously the teachers are being led to strike for this for some reason, and obviously would like to know more about what their actual reasons are.
I think they'd like to know more, too, about those actual reasons, and I think that this, you know, the dialogue and discussion that's going on now in the city of Chicago may likely, transfer to some dialogue and discussion of the rest of the collar counties and downstate Illinois, and as well as teachers and union labor negotiations and relations everywhere. So, you know, whether this was caused by politics or not, you know, and it seems like it, you know, I tend to agree. I think that discussion and dialogue on some of these points are good, and I think that we need to, you know, take a look at compensation, you know, how the money is being spent, hiring and firing, and the ability to do different things, and really transparency in a system that we all pay for as taxpayers. So I'm glad that we're having this discussion. I thank our guests again. We're going to pause for our first set of breaks, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about one of the hot buttons, which is teacher performance and compensation. And then we'll talk a little bit more about management and union perspectives on issues and how to use dispute resolution models such as mediation to take care of situations like this and really focus on the processes of negotiating and coming to dispute resolution. All right, so for our break, I want to first tell you that Chicago Now, again, it's a Tribune Public or a Tribune Group publication, has Chicago Now. We have a new family law column there. It's called the Friends and Family Law, and it's a new column about family law, again, on Chicago Now, a Tribune Media Group publication, featuring real stories in and out of court. Your Law Talk radio host, Nick Augustine, that's me, interviews the people who work in the family law industry and those who have tips and stories to share with our Chicago Now readers. Please visit ChicagoNow.com/family law for more information about our new weekly column. Also, about the Bryan Law Group, who brings you this program, Bryan Law Group handles all the matters that affect your family, including school law and animal law. Attorney Susan Bryan is available to speak to your group and help your members learn what to do when they spot the legal issues that affect families and what people should know about protecting themselves and their families. Please call Attorney Susan Bryan at area code 630-202-2672 for more information and for a free consultation. Telephone number again for the Bryan Law Group, 630-202-2672. Also, if you're a young attorney looking for a job or you're looking to make a transfer out of a firm or go on your own, check out the new lawyer committee of the DuPage County Bar Association as they present a job search workshop on Thursday, September 13th, that's tomorrow, at the Lyle Naperville Hilton. Attendees will learn important job skills such as effective job searching, resume tips on how to make you stand out, and how to prepare for an interview. Additionally, members from prominent Chicago and DuPage County law firms will be there to offer mock interviews. If you need a professional headshot, bring along $30, and you'll be on your way to looking good and being ready to land the job you want. This is a free event open to members, non-members, and students, but you must register to attend as spots are limited. You can register at www.dcba.org. Again, the DuPage County Bar Association New Lawyer Committee brings you a job search workshop Thursday, September 13th at the Lyle Naperville Hilton. All right, now back to our program. We have guests with us. We have Charles Krugel and Krugel. Am I doing
Krugel.
Your name wrong, Chuck? Is that your?
It's Krugel.
Krugel. Thank you. Krugel and Tom Glick in Florida, a mediator, and Chuck here up in Illinois in Chicagoland has worked in human resources and as attorney and counselor and has worked extensively with school issues. So we're going to ask Chuck to tell us a little bit about teacher performance and compensation and what are the issues in this this current strike.
Sure. Teacher performance historically has been based on seniority or tenure. Teachers attain tenure, and basically that's where their security. So performance itself has usually been it's a convoluted system that's based on principal's perception of performance and the union and teacher's ability to kind of lobby or advocate either with or against the principal on that on performance. Compensation is largely based, again, on length of tenure, seniority, and also how many degrees or how much education beyond a bachelor's the teacher has. They usually call these lanes and steps, and it's a convoluted process that the teacher works their way up through, you know, having a master's or a doctorate degree. And it's a very complex, complicated sort of thing. Teachers, it's not unusual for them once they have a master's or a doctorate to make over $100,000 a year in the CPS system.
Okay, so that's the current system. So it's a system of tenure and degrees and whatnot. So performance and compensation. So that's the longstanding system, right?
Yeah.
And so who wants to change it, or what's at issue now?
Yeah, I think this management, the CTU, Mayor Emanuel, wants to go to more of a – I'm sorry, I said CTU, I meant CPS. Mayor Emanuel, they want to go more toward a performance-based system based on test scores, more and even more heavily weighted on principal perception or principal assessment of the teacher's performance in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the CTU,
what are some of the problems with that?
Yeah, the CTU, as Karen Lewis has explicitly said, we will not have pay for performance in the CPS.
Now, is this a similar thing to the? I remember the No Child Left Behind. I live in District 203 in Naperville, and one of our strongest school systems that actually was marked as a warning school, I believe, because whether they fall from the 93rd to the 94th or the 93rd percentile or something like that. I mean, is that similar to what the CPS proposal would be? So based on test scores of students?
Yeah, based on standardized test scores.
What are the problems there?
Well, you have cultural biases, gender biases, racial biases, things like that sometimes get built into these tests, and I think that the CTU would like to see those removed. You have then the segregation of students in different classes, different grade levels, so that basically you could manipulate the statistics so that they're higher at certain in certain schools or certain regions or among certain demographics, things like that.
That presents a lot of unique challenges. Susan, you and I were talking about some of these issues before with compensation and testing, and I suppose that some parents you've talked to as you've worked with school issues have raised some concerns over years past. What are some of the things that have word on the street?
Well, that's funny because, especially with this new compensation that's being proposed, the teachers are saying, well, we can't do it all. We want the parents to step up, and the parents need to be involved. And, again, that goes to some of those areas, especially in Chicago, where the parents can't be there because they have to work or something else is going on, or there's, the gang-related stuff where they just can't study. So, of course, the teacher is going to be, prohibited from, making the full salary or the full amount that they could. And then you have the parents on the other side saying that the teachers are supposed to be teaching our kids. Whose responsibility? And everybody just seems to keep blaming the other.
And this is Chuck. An interesting statistic, too, is that, and this has been pretty consistent over the last maybe 30, 40 years, is that a vast majority of Chicago public school students are at or below the poverty level.
If I might just jump in, this is Tom. If a neutral were involved, if a mediator were involved with both parties, it just seems like it's just not all one side or the other. And I hear the comment that it's based upon standardized testing, but maybe with some creativity, all sides can get a little bit of what they want. Maybe you can scale it towards the various schools, towards the various incomes of the schools, of the parents, in a whole array of things, rather than just say, well, it's based upon standardized testing. And that's why, let me just make a pitch for a mediator or a neutral to frame the issues and help the parties move forward.
Now, one of the, when I think about mediation, of course, I think first about family law and mediation, and we kind of take a look at it from a business perspective. What's your bottom line and what's your bottom line? And how can we sort of meet in the middle? What are some of the unique challenges to mediation processes, Chuck, from your background in working on both sides of the coin?
Well, there's sort of an irony here because I'm not always an advocate of mediation, but clearly because the teachers are on strike and because there's been very little agreement, and basically it seems like one side says X and the other side says Y, possibly the mediation could be the best solution here. There's got to be somebody who, like Tom said, accurately frames the issues for both sides and creates a not a winner and loser in this, but a win-win situation for both sides, or at least that both sides can concede that they've given up important factors or important considerations so that they could reach an agreement.
I totally agree with what Chuck is saying. And just from a mediator perspective, you can almost have a win-win.
Yeah.
When you look at it, and if you just sort of take it to its basics, you're dealing with some very good people, all well-intended public servants that are doing their all, but the perceptions are horrible, and the accusations are flying. And if a neutral, if a mediator were stuck in there, first thing that I would suggest is almost to have a news freeze, just to have a timeout,
Stop have the name calling. Go to your basic camps.
Yeah.
Let a neutral meet with the prospective groups. Discuss the issues. Find out what the issues are. Find out where areas of compromise are, where, from their point of view, they're willing to give and what things that they're willing not to give on. And meet with both sides. And then maybe you can take a representative from each side, not necessarily the mayor, but maybe somebody who is respected, trusted, somewhere down the line, that could communicate. That can. The whole thing is about communication. And once you have that dialogue open without the emotions running high, you can move on. You can move forward.
I think that's a very good point to make, and I agree strongly. And, I also almost think that you might need a mediator from not from Illinois and not from this area, someone who, can be really a neutral, because it gets very hard, because when we think about politics, especially here in the Chicago area, people go to their default side of, where they lie on issues, and everything, becomes political. And so everyone kind of writes, well, not everyone, but a lot of people write it off as your battles and whatnot. I mean, I hear my father saying that all the time. But that's not to say that the issues underlying this are invalid issues. I mean, there are important issues, and, maybe because we have a ripe time to start talking about these things, that's good. But too many people are going to just – I am worried that too many people just dismiss this out as, just political posturing.
That's a good point. I don't think political posturing – I mean, there's some of that going on, but it's not at the heart of what's really happening here.
Mm-hmm,
and again,
mm-hmm.
It's all about perceptions. And I hear what you said earlier about some of the people that you spoke to, their perceptions are might not very well what's going on. It's like what Chuck just said. And you need somebody who can talk privately with these groups and get the information, can frame the issues without the emotions, objectively, that have no political axe to grind or total independent, that can go back and forth with the various people and then ultimately bring them together to frame a settlement.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Susan, I want to ask Susan quick if she has any comments on dispute resolution models.
Since they have so much experience, I'd really like to turn it back to them and let them whatever information that we have in the last couple
of
minutes.
We got a couple
of
minutes left.
I think one of the issues underlying a lot is, too, is charter schools, that the Chicago Teachers Union believes that it's the mayor and management's goal to basically bust the union by closing down union schools and converting them into or creating more charter schools. So that's
mm-hmm.
one of the things that they're fighting, and this leads to the issue of teacher recall, who union teachers have been laid off and their ability to get recalled either into other union positions or charter school positions.
Can you again, for those who may not understand the charter versus public school, for those of us who don't live, how that breaks down again?
Sure. The concept of charter schools are that these are more or less privately run schools, that even though it's in a public sector, it's a quasi-public-private initiative where you have a institution, foundation, a corporation that's set up to basically create the school and run the school, and unions, the union rules or the civil service sort of rules don't apply in those schools.
Mm-hmm.
So seniority
very
and tenure,
issues.
Yeah, seniority and tenure are basically taken out of the equation.
Yeah, so that's, there's a lot of issues here. Chuck, can we get some contact information from you? Anyone who wants to follow up with you and continue a discussion?
Sure. My website is Charles A. Krugel, KRUGEL. .com. Phone is 312-804-3851.
Okay. I want to thank you for your time, and then Tom, let's get some contact information from you.
That's great. The company is Center for Conflict Resolution, and the website is centerforconflictresolution.com. And if anybody wants me individually, it's Glick, G-L-I-C-K, at centerforconflictresolution.com. And my phone is 305-892-1577.
All right. I want to thank you, Tom, as well. I want to thank not only our guests, but also for listeners who tune into this episode of The Roundup by the Brian Law Group, brought to you by the Brian Law Group and Augustine Legal PR, and with support from Chris McCarthy of Northwestern Mutual. Chris McCarthy provides individuals and business owners with expert guidance and exclusive access to Northwestern Mutual's life and disability insurance policies. the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Roundup is here to keep you informed and to share information about all the matters that affect your families in DuPage County and Chicagoland. This is Nick Augustin and Susan Bryan for the Roundup, and as always, we thank you for your time.